Hello and welcome to episode 11, part one, with myself, Chris, from Serrera on a Budget. I have no co-host tonight, so I'm not going to make fun of him by, you know, outing some outlandish fact about him. Unfortunately, Russ, otherwise known as Scotland Serrera, has unfortunately come down with COVID and is unable to be part of the podcast tonight. I'm sure you will all join me in saying to Russ, man up. I managed to do the podcast when I had COVID, but, you know, apparently some of us aren't as strong and as dedicated as others. So, Russ, get well soon. What we're going to do is I'm going to do a short kind of 30, 40 minute podcast tonight. I'm just myself talking about some of the news and also a mailbag we posted up asking for questions. That was a backup in case Russ was unable to record tonight. So because he's not able to record, I'm going to run through those questions. And then on Sunday, Russ and I are going to reconvene and we're going to get a podcast put together, proper one, and that'll be part two. And in that, we're going to give away the full details of the prize that we talked about on last week's podcast. So without further ado, I will start off by looking at my game week. I'll let Russ talk about his when we get to the weekend. Last weekend, or last midweek, was a disaster, not only for my teams, but also for Scotland. We did not turn up to play against Ukraine. We had a very poor performance in that one. Russ was obviously at the game, so I'll let him discuss that on Sunday when we reconvene. I'm actually recording ahead of the game tonight. So again, by the time you hear this, you'll hear whether Scotland have capitulated again or whether we've regained some pride. However, at the weekend there, my tier two rewards continued or got back on track, and that was in the Specialist Limited League. I had a score of only 275, but that was enough to get me into the bottom end of the tier twos. Unfortunately, one of my players, had I played Lucas Kahl in my main specialist team as opposed to the underdog team, that would have been enough to put me well into the tier two rares, which was a little bit unfortunate, but is what it is. And so that was that. So a tier two reward, it was Keary Shelton from Sporting Kansas that I got as the reward, only worth a fiver, which for a tier two is a wee bit mad. Obviously, the tier two limiteds from the MLS are being given away as part of the referral rewards. So I don't know if that would be a reason as to why they're a lot lower. However, obviously, Keary Shelton hasn't exactly been setting the world alight. However, it was it was still a reward. It's still something to keep in the gallery. If he goes on, comes back from his injury, gets a couple of goals, his price will go up. And I'm not in any concern about that. So it's always nice just to get a reward, isn't it? So that was the rewards. I'm looking forward in the current game week and also at the weekend. Obviously, the international break has been, two and a half weeks it's running. So I don't have full teams beyond what I've had to go and pick up until next weekend, the weekend of the 18th. And so that's been a wee bit of a detriment to, you know, the excitement of the game overall. However, what I did was I did a little bit of forward planning. I'm going to discuss this a little bit more detail with Russ. But just to kind of give you an idea of what I did, I went on the Serrera Data website and had a look at the games that were upcoming. And also what players were going to be playing in the various different game weeks and what I had. So I did have a few Brazilian lads in the team. However, what I was able to then do was see, right, okay, Brazil have got games, you know, it's weekend, midweek. They've got so many games. And they're basically playing right the way through this international break. So it was an opportunity to be able to pick up some of these lads at a cheap price. Now, also, the Argentine League came back at the weekend. So I'd been able to pre-plan. You may have seen the picture on my Twitter account, which is Serrera on a Budget. And I had basically been sitting planning out. I bought a bunch of Argentina players and also Brazilians. And I've been able to turn them over at quite a good rate. So since last week, I think just from the limited cards, I think I'm up about 140 or 150 quid, which is just bonkers, really. But some of the forwards have really come into form. Steven Mendoza has been fantastic. I also picked up Christian Tarragona from Gimnasia in the Argentine League, scored again at the weekend. So it's been really good. So taking the time to sit and look at Serrera data and actually plan ahead to see what players are available and picking them up well ahead of time is a way to be able to get a financial return, because not everybody's going to be planning that far ahead to look and see, right, okay, what's available in three game weeks, what's available in four game weeks, that you can go and pick up quite cheap just now and then sit on them for a week or two. And once people start to plan those game weeks, start to sell into it. So I did that. I sold quite a few players at that. I've also sold players just as they're increasing in value, as I've said on previous podcasts. Like last week, I talked about Moises. I sold him from 13 quid as a purchase and I sold him at 68. So I did notice that he's come right down again, down to about the 50 quid mark. And that's just because he's not been playing so well. So it's finding the right time to sell, but being able to pre-plan and find those cards, definitely been a win on that front. So I'll go into a bit more detail with Russ on that at the weekend, because I think that's quite important, especially, you know, us kind of lower end users, or if anybody's brand new to the game and they want to try and build the whole squad, you could go in, find the right players, buy them, get a performance from them, sell them, buy two, get a performance from them, sell them, buy four, you know, that kind of way, and just build up your team. So yeah, I'll talk a wee bit more about that with Russ on Sunday. A little bit of Scottish news, just before I kind of crack on with some of the mailbag questions. In the last couple of days, Celtic's backup goalkeeper, Barkas, went on loan, a season-long loan to Utrecht. Now, whether that's going to be as the number one or the number two, I genuinely don't know. But he didn't play particularly well for Celtic, was replaced by Scott Bain, and then was also replaced by Joe Hart. So we'll see what happens there. But there has been some media talk today, which is Wednesday, regarding Benjamin Siegrist. Now, obviously, in the last podcast, I talked about him potentially going to Blackpool or to Preston. Now, Celtic have kind of stepped into the frame again and are looking at getting him in as a number two. And that would also there be, you know, a challenge to Joe Hart. Now, Joe Hart was one of the better players for Celtic last season, you know, on a very strong side, to be perfectly honest, and didn't really put, you know, a foot wrong as such, but it would give a bit of competition there. And, you know, it's one of these things with football. You could go to Celtic and make a lot of money and not have to play for your money. You could be the backup and never play a game, but you're still earning the you know, the figures that they're going to be earning. Or you can go and you can knock your pan in at Luton and Blackpool or wherever, and, you know, be actually, you know, earning your keep. So it'll be an interesting one to see what happens there. Another one that kind of was came in the news today, that was from Scott Burns, basically the Scottish Fabrizio Romano. And he had posted up saying that there was talk of Tom Petermatt of Beerschot heading towards St Mirren. There's been quite a few exits from Beerschot over the last few days with relegation release clauses. I did notice that happening. But that was one to St Mirren. That would be a very interesting sign-in. He was one that always showed up in my threshold videos that I would do for the rare cards, because he's a steady Eddie, 45, 50 points, you know, in that kind of bracket. And I think he could probably do that kind of a job at St Mirren as well. So one definitely to keep an eye on in that. I think his price in the rare was a wee bit high when I had a look. And that was within minutes, because I've got him on notifications. But that was within minutes of the news going on to Twitter. And his prices were still sitting in the kind of £60-£70 range. And I think on speculation, for me, that was a wee bit rich for a rare card. But we'll see how things go. I did pick one up in limited because it was like £4 or something. So that was that one. Another little bit of interesting news. This came out yesterday, which would be Tuesday. That was David Marshall's international retirement from the Scotland squad. Now, that opens the door to Liam Kelly and Xander Clark as the backups to Craig Gordon. Now, obviously, Craig Gordon's age is cracking on. I think he just turned 38 or 39. And that opens the door to, you know, the likes of Xander Clark and Liam Kelly to be able to move into, you know, eventually that number one role. So those are two cards that are worth having a look at. I've got both of them in limited. I've got Liam Kelly as a rare. As far as I was concerned, Liam Kelly was the safest out with Joe Hart as a number one. And so that's why I've got them in both. The other news, Calvin Ramsey looks like he is heading on to Liverpool. It's been speculated for months. And I think that, you know, they were talking about he was heading down for a medical and to agree contract terms. For his career value, I don't see that being a good thing. He might get loaned out. He might play just under 23s. And obviously that's not a scoring league. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, how that one plays out and how that pans out for his value. Unless there's a loan back deal, I would expect his price to drop off fairly dramatically, unless he's loaned out to, if it's back to Aberdeen or even to the Championship, to one of the clubs that Liverpool, you know, tend to loan cards to, or players to, not cards. Crazy you think of human beings as cards when it's say things like that, eh? But yeah, Calvin Ramsey would be one. Does open the door at Aberdeen, you know, for potentially, you know, a newcomer. They've also got quite a few cards, a few players there that are capable of playing in that position. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's all worth kind of keeping track. Obviously, I've been posted up quite a lot when I see news, as has Russ on his at Scotland Surrey page as well. So worth having a wee nosy on those. Moving on to a little bit of Surrey news. They posted up yesterday, I believe it was, which again would be Tuesday, that they're extending the prizes in the casual league, which is long overdue. But give them, you know, give them the credit. It has happened. There's 100 prizes now in the casual league. So instead of just being the top three, it's 100 people are going to get cards out there. So again, that's the free to play league. Nobody's really got a, you know, yeah, if you've been on the platform for a long time, you will have a lot of cards built up and you'll be able to earn, you know, a better chance of, you know, getting to the top prizes. But anybody brand new into the platform, picks their clubs, picks the right players, could well end up winning, you know, decent prizes, or even whatever you win, it's free at that point, isn't it? And then you could trade that back on. So worth having a wee look at that. The Tier 2 limited MLS referrals has been continued and extended by another 5,000. So they must have already hit their 5,000 referrals to get through that. You'd also question what quality is coming through in that. Is it a lot of people who are trying to be a little bit dubious? You see it all the time. I've seen it in transactions. I've highlighted it to some folk. You know, you could see where it's blatant abuse of not just referrals, but, you know, transferring players for nothing. I mean, I've seen one instance where a fairly high profile person was trading half an ETH's worth of players from one account to another. So it's very visible these days. And I think there might be a wee bit more, especially with the T's and C's having changed. You might see a bit more action taken on those kind of things. And I hope it does. I really do. So that's kind of the Surrey news and the Scottish news that I was going to touch on. I'm going to look at the mailbag questions now. I have got quite a few, so I will get through these best possible. Now, I had a couple sent on my personal one, and there's a few on the main account. First one I'm going to go to is Mike. So the podcast question from Mike, there's actually two. He's being a bit cheeky here. We'd be interested to hear your thoughts on the price of rare keepers and rare cards in general once the commons are removed. So obviously that's going to start coming into effect effectively from August, where obviously you're not going to be able to use common cards within that. So I think you're starting to see the prices starting to pick back up in the rare goalkeepers. You certainly are starting to see the prices picking up. I've noticed, I've been keeping a close eye on my two that I've got sat there and keeping an eye on their prices, and I have started to see them rebounding up. I did see that Liam Kelly had kind of dropped down to about the 600 quid mark, and now he's back up towards the 750 range. So there's definite signs that that's going to increase. And obviously we're still 2 months away and people will still be trying to build up their balances to be able to buy a rare keeper if that's what they're looking to do. But I do see that continuing to increase. I don't see any other way. The rest of the rare cards overall, I imagine the vast majority of people were using common goalkeepers as opposed to a common striker. You know, I would find that more likely, to be perfectly honest. But I think once we get back round to, you know, early July into mid-July, when people start to panic buy, you will start to see, and obviously there'll be the European boom anyway as well. That'll be in full flight by that point. So you might see a double dunt when it comes to some of the prices. So getting in early doors is probably the best advice on that one. So that would be where I would take that from. Some of these questions, if I find ones that I think are particularly spot on, I will look to bring these into the podcast on Sunday with Russ as well. So will we see the same boom and bust for America, Asia cards if people can't afford a goalkeeper, etc.? I think what will probably happen is, I still think that, you know, I'm both Russ and I have kind of proved it over the summer as well, where we've not had a playing goalkeeper, or we're missing a card, or we've had a DNP, and we've been able to hit, you know, the lower ETH, or even get, I think Russ got through the higher ETH with three players. So it is possible still to do it. I still think we'll see a lot of the does not play goalkeepers running in the All-Star leagues and or just any of the rare leagues, to be perfectly honest. I do see, you know, places where I think the best opportunity, if you can't afford to buy a starter, is to buy a regular backup, because we're still living in a COVID age where players are going to miss games out of nowhere. And also, being a goalkeeper, I mean, it might be a case that you could break a finger or whatever and you miss six games, and all of a sudden your backup becomes a lot more valuable, and then you could look to potentially sell him and put it with some other money that you've got and buy a regular starting goalkeeper. So there's definite ways and means. Do I see it being a boom or bust? Not more so, I don't think. I do think what will happen is more people will play, but obviously the advantage is going to go massively to the people who have playing goalkeepers. You know, if you're sat with four players, unless they're worldies, you probably are needing that fifth card to win a prize in those other leagues. So it'll be interesting to see where those go. So that's a spot on one there. And on a similar subject, this one comes from Eldan. Question for the podcast: what is your opinion on people's submission of squads with lots of DNP players just now during the international break? So what you actually sent me a screenshot. This was from Tuesday afternoon. This was after the leagues and everything had transferred over into Serie Data's app. So that was showing that the Champion America League, for example, had 59% of cards were already complete, which basically means DNPs. So there was only going to be 41% of the cards that had been entered into that league were actually playing. So to me, that's an opportunity for me to win, because I've got the five sitting in there. But I've also been entering only four cards effectively into like the underdog league and coming pretty close. One of my friends, he was like, I've only got two cards. I was like, enter them. You don't know what could happen. We've seen a couple of weeks ago when I finished, what was it, fourth in the underdog, the person who was above me didn't have a playing goalkeeper and finished on the podium without a playing goalkeeper. So it's very possible to still win prizes without that, especially in this kind of a climate where some folk are only going to have three cards, two cards or what have you. So definitely worth, I think, entering in. I think it's good for everybody, because it gives somebody who doesn't have a playing goalkeeper maybe has an opportunity of winning a higher tier two or even into a tier one in underdog that might win a goalkeeper or win a prize that's valuable enough to sell and buy a goalkeeper. So I like it. I like it. I think it opens it up a wee bit more. It's not the same old faces at the top. It gives people a chance to actually, you know, compete. So that would be one that I would say on that front. So yeah, no, thank you very much for that one, Eldon. It's definitely an interesting way to look at it. So now we have Adam, a man who was on my video series, Conversations With. I really do need to start making videos again. I'll do that once I've got some time, but we'll certainly get on that. So quick one for the pod. Why is it so difficult to sell rare players even at the higher bonuses and at the lowest price? It comes down to timing, I think, personally. It really does. It comes down to timing. You've got to have a card that somebody's actually looking to buy at that particular moment. For instance, just now, I've not bothered listing many of my MLS or J-League cards on. They're only limited ones, right enough, but I haven't bothered listing them because there's no games until next weekend, or there's some games this weekend in the MLS, but the full calendar doesn't come back till next week. If you're sitting with European cards, yeah, you're going to find people trying to buy, but you're also going to find them trying to buy at a lower price point. But I think it might be worth holding onto those cards for another 6 weeks and selling them in the hype in July, or mid-July. So yeah, it is tough. I've had players listed and, you know, or even I've actually had quite a lot of offers recently on players that aren't listed, which is really odd. Quite a lot, actually. But it's worth having a wee think about, you know, your timing on those. I tend to find if I'm looking to sell like an MLS card or a J-League card, or even just take the past couple of game weeks there with the Argentine and the Brazilian lads, I sold them, a majority of them, on either the day before the game week or on the day of the game week. I lost my underdog team this game week here because my striker sold. And it was for, I think, almost four times what I paid for them. So it's sometimes you've got to kind of weigh it up like that. But I usually look, if I'm trying to sell a particular player, look at when the games are coming back around and try to pinpoint those. So if you were looking to sell a J-League card, for example, I'd probably be looking to do that next week, this time, sort of Thursday, Thursday daytime, Thursday nighttime, Friday morning, excuse me, and that would probably be the best bet for those, in my humble opinion. So thank you very much for that one, Adam. I will refrain from talking about relegated teams with yourself because we both suffered the same fate this season. Next one I've got is from Deco121. Hey lads, love the pod. So do we. Thank you very much. It's better probably when it's a two-man. I'm feeling a wee bit awkward doing this one on my own. But here we go. I should start singing all by myself, but I probably would just make everybody instantly press the stop button and never come back. So question for you. Do you think we'll ever see... So this is actually more of a football-based one rather than Serrer. So here we go, something completely different. Do you think we'll ever see someone other than Rangers or Celtic win the league again in the next 20 years? Possibly. Obviously, the huge financial resources are sat there with Celtic and Rangers. That's just how it is. You know, you're pulling in 50 to 60,000 punters every single week. You can afford better wages. You can afford better training facilities. You can afford better things. You know, it's just one of those things. You have a better job, you can afford more things. You have more fans coming through your turnstiles, you can pay more things. So do I think I could see... I see over... Yes, yeah. There are teams there capable with an infrastructure. You know, you can look at the likes of a Hearts, for example. I mean, they finished comfortably third, having just got promoted. Now they're looking to build on that as well. They're starting to bring in a few players, a few younger players there as well. Could I see them overtaking one or both? I could see them overtaking one eventually. You know, if it's happened before, I don't see why it couldn't happen again. Obviously, I think you're looking back at likes of, I think Dundee United and Aberdeen were the last two clubs out with Celtic and Rangers to win the league. Hearts almost won it in 86 when they had their hearts broken at Dens Park when a substitute, a little-known Dundee player, Albert Kidd, came off the bench and scored two goals. Celtic won the league and Hibernian fans everywhere rejoiced. But you could also see something crazy like, you obviously, likes of Red Bull for it could come in and say, we're going to buy a team with a half-decent infrastructure. They could buy Hibs, for example, and all of a sudden you've got Red Bull Hibernian and the resources that follow in from that. So you could definitely see something, you know, out, you know, completely insane happen. I mean, obviously, Red Bull have got teams all over the world now, so why wouldn't they want to invest in, you know, a Hibs or a Dundee United or even a Dundee, you know, whilst they're on their backside, you could come in, pick them up for peanuts, build the infrastructure you want to build and send the players in that you want to buy. So, I mean, you could definitely see something as wild and zany as that. Follow-up question, do you think those two will ever leave and join the English tiers? Is there any viable way that that would work and would the fans be for it or against it? Scottish fans, I think it would, financially, club-wise, it would probably be a pain for the clubs because obviously you're suddenly losing the two brand names in your league. I don't ever see it happening. It gets muted in the press. I think that's usually when there's, you know, it's probably when there's an international break and there's bugger all else to talk about. It tends to come up at those sort of times. So no, I don't necessarily see it being something that happens. However, stranger things have happened, I suppose. But how would you work that? I mean, realistically, you couldn't just put them into, you know, a national league or a League Two or a League One because you've got the whole pyramid system. So I don't think you could justifiably do it anyway, and there would be huge legal ramifications, massive payoffs to clubs and everything like that to try and get it in place. I don't ever see it happening. It's just, you know, could there be like an Anglo-Scottish league, you know, maybe with six or eight teams, maybe, but not. I don't see them playing in the Premiership, for example. I just don't. So the last batch of questions I've got here are from James R., and these ones say, what card purchase or sale do you regret most? Interesting. I don't really regret any of them, to be perfectly honest. I've always been of the mindset that I've been in this to make money. And yeah, do you know what? The Fabian De Keyser would be an example of a card that I got him as my referral reward. And I sold him at the time, or I traded him, which would probably be for about, I don't know, at the time, I guess it was about 70, 75 quid. And he obviously then became the starter a year later and was worth 0.7, you know, so worth over a grand. But had I held on to that card for that length of time, all those mini investments I would have been doing along the way, that 75 quid would then become 100. That 100 then becomes 200. That 200 becomes 400, and so on and so on. I would have had to sit on that one card for that length of time and not have had the journey that I had. So I don't regret any of the cards that I've sold or purchased, to be perfectly honest. When I have had a purchase where it's maybe gone a bit wrong, you know, I had Eric Williamson, for example. I picked him up during the Gold Cup, and he came back and he tore his cruciate and was out. So that was his first game for me, he tore his cruciate. And I just quickly shipped him into Pavel Trader's Gallery and pick somebody else up. So these things happen. I don't think you can afford to have regrets. You can't really look back and be like, oh, I wish I'd have kept him. I wish I'd have sold him. I wish I'd have done this, wish I'd done that, because there's no point. There really isn't. You can only look forward. Apart from the players, from the teams you support, do you hold any cards on sentiment? I did. I still probably have one. When I changed from the MLS, when I very first started, I moved to the J-League. I picked up a couple of lads from Oita Trinita, and they got relegated at the end of the season, but they were small squad, so they had players that were playing all the time. But I had one player, Yamato Machida. He loved scoring, or getting really good scores, assists, goals, everything like that. And I found it so hard to sell him. And I did sell him eventually, and I sold him when ETH was sitting at about $3,000, I think it was. So I sold him for about 200 quid. Bit more, and I'd only paid, I think, about 40-50 quid for him. So I had huge sentiment, because he was the one that every week I could rely on for that 55-60 points, and was getting me them. But obviously I knew the league position, and you know, they were only halfway through the season, but you know, you have to start to move on and pick up other players. The one that's in my gallery just now still is Stefan Nuts. I had offers to sell him, you would probably be talking 3 months ago maybe. And I was getting offered silly money. I mean, it was over 300 quid for him. And at the time, he was on a great run, a really good run. And I didn't sell him. And he then went on a run of 35s. And I think his average, he finished the season almost 36. Top assists in the Austrian Bundesliga, but just didn't, you know, click or didn't do much in the last bit of the season. After the season split, they really kind of tailed off and were very fortunate to stay in the league, having just missed out on the top six on the last day. So he would probably be one that I'd kept on sentiment. I do think he's a good player. I probably still put him into the squad. You know, if he had a game tomorrow, would he be in my lineup? Probably. Possibly to the detriment of my team. So that might be something I have to kind of work on. But that would probably be the one that's sitting in my gallery at the moment on sentiment. I could probably tell you who Russell's sentimental hold is, and that's probably going to be Carlos Soler. He got him at a fantastic deal last year, and then he ended up selling him for a huge, huge, huge profit. I don't think it was far short of four figures. And he then has ended up buying him back in again, because I think, you know, it's one of those cards that he just adores. Unlike his, you know, whilst his spirit is strong on Carlos Soler, his spirit has not been strong enough to get him on the podcast today. But we will return on Sunday. That's going to be the end of the questions and kind of the end of the podcast. I'm very sorry if this has been a boring one. I do hope that we return. It's hard to make jokes when you're on your own. You kind of feel quite stupid making a joke when you're just sat here on your tod. But on Sunday, we will return. I hope that we'll have that out Sunday night. Probably I'm aiming about 7 o'clock. It might be later. So let's say Sunday evening. But if you're on your Monday morning commute, you will absolutely find a part two in there. And that is where we will be talking about the team we are going to give away as part of our thank you to everybody. You may have seen it. I think I shared it the other day. We were back into the top 15. I think we were 12th at one point again this week for the podcast, which we really can't put into words how much that actually means to us. You know, two guys just talking about, you know, football and the platform they love. So yes, thank you to everybody that listens. And I would absolutely encourage you to tune in on Sunday, because the giveaway is going to be something that you have to listen to the podcast to be able to win. So we will be looking forward to unleashing the team that's going to be given away. And you might start to see players picking up in the gallery over the next few days. So maybe keep your eye on Russ or myself's gallery to see who you think it might be. And yes, the giveaway will be detailed on the podcast on Sunday. So without further ado, I will let you go. I will speak to you then. Take care, guys, and I will speak to you all again soon.